The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Derby Week on the Leach Report. And what a beautiful day to get it started. And over the next hour, we'll talk some Wildcats and we'll talk some Derby with you here on the Leach Report Radio Network. And if it sounds a little different, the reason is we're on location today, not at Churchill Downs, but we are in Louisville. One of our new sponsors in the Louisville market is Top Round Roast Beef. Been in, on Shelbyville Road here for less than a year. And they just signed on with our program within the last month, and they've got a really neat promotion for Oaks and Derby Day. We'll tell you about in a little bit. But that's why we are here today in Louisville. We'll be back here, obviously, several times this week. Here's what's coming up on the show today. John Clay from the Lexington Herald Leader. We'll talk a little Derby and Wildcats with him. Dick Girardi always joins us on the Triple Crown campaign. Formerly retired now from the Philadelphia Daily News. He writes for ExpressBet, among others, and we'll get his take on Derby, and also a longtime college basketball writer for the Philly Daily News. So we'll talk some college hoops with Dick Girardi as well. And then Corey Lannery, jockey on Promises Fulfilled in the Derby and Eskimo Kisses in the Oaks, will join us at the end of the show today. That is our guest lineup, presented each day by Sleep Outfitters. Our ways to contact us, of course, via Twitter at Leach Report, email leachreport@gmail.com, or you can call 877-904-1080 toll-free anywhere in Kentucky. Wildcat News of the Day is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, just up the road from where we are, a proud member of Ameriprise Financial Services. And let's get to our Wildcat News of the Day. Yesterday was Darren Hedrick's birthday, the first-year play-by-play voice for Kentucky baseball and women's basketball, and a pretty good way to celebrate your birthday when you get to do this.
The 1-0. Caught him, swings in a high drive to deep left center. Away back. It is out of here. A grand slam home run for Cole Cottom. And Kentucky leads 11-10 with one out in the eighth inning.
Great call by Darren Hedrick at the Cliff yesterday as Kentucky comes from behind to beat Missouri and win the series with an 11-10 victory. They lost a 6-1 lead, down 10-7 in the bottom of the eighth. They had a couple of hit batters and then a single, and then that blast by Cole Cottom, his 15th home run of the season. And Daniel Harper came in and got his first save to nail down the victory. Maybe a season-defining kind of moment for Kentucky because they were on the verge of letting a series slip away. Justin Lewis had been so strong, finally had less than his best day on a wrap-up series wrap-up, and his team had his back yesterday by rallying for the victory. And Kentucky now has no midweek game this week because of finals. 29-15 on the season. They're one game under 500 now in the league by winning the series at 10-11 and go to Tennessee this coming weekend. A couple of other quick notes from the NFL. Several Kentucky guys have signed free agent deals. Courtney Love with the Browns, Garrett Johnson and Austin McGinnis with the Bears, my Bears, and Charles Walker with the Lions. Former Wildcat Jeff Badette signed a free agent deal with Minnesota. And congrats to Franklin County's Logan Woodside, who was drafted by the Bengals out of Toledo. Ben Roberts of the Herald Leader has an interesting story up on Tyrese Maxey after this weekend's game up in Indianapolis. Ben writing that Maxey's going to decide this week about reclassifying and may even commit. And in Ben's story, he has a note that Evan Daniels of Scout says that Kentucky is the big favorite to land Maxey, and he might be playing as early as next season. And also from that event in Indianapolis, DJ Jeffries telling SEC Country his commitment to Kentucky is firm despite all the Penny Hardaway buzz in Memphis. And Jeffries says he's working on James Wiseman as well. Kyle's going to join us tomorrow. And today is the post-position draw for the Kentucky Oaks. Tomorrow for the Kentucky Derby. The Combatant was the only Derby horse out getting a time to work out in today. Triple Crown coverage, once again, provided by Claiborne Farm here on the Leach Report, doing the usual unusually well for more than 100 years. Quick break and back with John Clay when we return from Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in Louisville here on the Leach Report Radio Network.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the show. John Clay with us from the Lexington Herald Leader, KentuckySports.com, and Derby Week. A couple of quick notes here. We'll bring in John. Mendelssohn, the horse that was the 18-length winner of the UAE Derby, scheduled to arrive here in Louisville late this afternoon, around 5:30 Eastern time. He'll be in quarantine for 48 hours, so the first time you'll see any video of him on the track is going to be Thursday morning here at Churchill Downs. And then Justify, the likely Derby favorite, he's on a plane with horses from California that is headed east, and they are due to be at the track around 1:30 Eastern time today. So soon we'll have all the Derby horses on the ground. And John, there's some interesting storylines to this, and I can find a correlation to college basketball. I'll see if this works for you. It's like, because other than McKenzie getting hurt, all the top horses are here, and they've performed well, whether you talk about Speed Figures or the way they've won their races and how they've looked visually, etc. So it's like a Final Four with all the one seeds, and then those one seeds are coached by John Calipari, Mike Krzyzewski, Jay Wright, and Roy Williams, because you've got Bob Baffert, Todd Pletcher, Chad Brown, and Aiden O'Brien with eight combined horses out of the 20 in this race. So you got arguably the four top trainers in the world, and all the one seeds are here. Does that analogy work?
Yeah, no, I think it does work. You know, on the last week on the NPRA teleconference, Bob Baffert was asked by someone, well, Bill Finley. Bill Finley asked Bob about, you know, was it good for the sport for the fact that you have, as you mentioned, so many really good horses with really good superstar trainers. You know, it's good from a publicity standpoint, and, you know, marquee names with good horses with marquee names. So what about the other trainers? And Bob said, and I think he's right, it's almost like kind of like a vicious cycle from the standpoint, if you're an owner, you look at who's had the success, most success with Derby horses, and that would be Bob, and Todd Pletcher won last year, and Chad Brown is really up and coming and won the Preakness last year with Cloud Computing. You look at those trainers, so the best horses seem to go to those trainers, and maybe you can make a correlation to basketball too. When you're a top prospect coming out, you're looking for what coaches, you know, what are the most successful coaches, and who are the coaches that are going to get me to the NBA, and those, so Calipari, Bill Self, Jay Wright, those kind of coaches like you talked about, there is sort of a correlation there. But, yeah, this is a star-studded Derby, both from a horse standpoint and from a trainer standpoint.
We'll keep this going a little bit longer. I was talking to Elliot Walden at Keeneland on Friday, and Elliot's with Windstar Farm, which is part of the ownership group on Justify and others in the race. But I said Justify is like Anthony Davis. He's the superstar freshman, and he's uber-talented, but is he going to be able to overcome the lack of experience? Because he didn't start racing until he was early February, and the thing people hear a lot about this week is no horse has won the Derby since 1882 without having raced as a two-year-old. So he and Magnum Moon are both bucking that so-called Apollo curse. How big a deal is that, or is that just one of those things like dosage that's eventually going to go away?
I think it's one of those things that's eventually going to go away. Todd Pletcher talked about that with Magnum Moon the other day. John Velasquez talked about that, you know, who's riding a Vino Rosso. That, you know, it's a different game now. You know, horses are not as seasoned going into the Derby. It's not that unusual anymore for a horse to not run at two. Usually, though, those horses are not, you know, ready by the Triple Crown campaign, but yeah, I think it's one of those things that's going to fall eventually, and I think this year could be the year. I mean, Bob, you know, people you talk to, I mean, Baffert is so high on Justify, which is not unusual. I mean, Baffert you know, if he's got a really good horse, he's going to say he's got a really good horse. But from what I've heard, I mean, people he's talked to in California, I mean, he just raves about this horse. And Magnum Moonis looks so good. He's very impressive in the Arkansas Derby. I know he, you know, he definitely drifted in the stretch, which could be a sign of how green he is. But I think if anybody, you know, if you wanted any trainer to try to work with that and correct that, you would want Todd Pletcher. So, yeah, I think, you know, if a 16 seed can beat a 1 seed, as we saw happen in the NCAA tournament, to bring another college basketball correlation into it, then I think the Apollo curse is going to go away, and I think this might be the year.
I'll wrap up the basketball comparison on this note. Of course, all the horses in the Derby are one and done.
There you go. That's right.
Ba-dum-bum.
That's exactly right.
Let's shift to basketball. And I mentioned in the top of the segment that your colleague Ben Roberts at the Herald Leader, because we're talking with John Clay from the Herald Leader, KentuckySports.com. Ben had a story up about Tyrese Maxey and this big event, AAU event up in Indianapolis over the weekend. Maxey played well, and apparently he's going to make his decision this week about reclassifying. And apparently it's a given he'll be able to do it academically, so it's just a matter of whether or not he wants to. And it certainly sounds like he's leaning that direction. And it kind of feels like from reading Ben's story that Kentucky may have another commitment by the end of this week. And you've still got Hagans out there as a possibility. Quade Green's back and the other guards that are in the recruiting class. So how's Cal going to make this work with an abundance of guards?
It seems like we're seeing this every year. Not necessarily with abundance of guards, but how's Cal going to make this work? And more often than not, he does, you know, find a way to make it work. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. If Hagans does reclassify, if they get Maxey, he reclassifies. And as you mentioned, you know, Quade Green is coming back. He's already got Quickley. He's got Tyler Hero coming in. People forget about Jamal Baker, who will be back, who could have been, you know, when you look back on it, Tom, he could have been the missing link last year if he was as good an outside shooter as people were saying coming in. That was one of the things they kind of lacked last year. So, you know, Cal will find a way to make it work somehow. And I think probably a big key to that is when he got E.J. Montgomery, because I think Montgomery can play underneath and give him that post presence that maybe they lacked last year because Richards didn't develop maybe as quickly as they wanted. They end up having to play P.J. down low more than they had planned on probably originally. So, I think you're probably going to look at it. If P.J. comes back, you're probably going to have a three-guard lineup maybe, or if Jared Vanderbilt comes back, you know, who knows. But I think those are the – as long as you got talented guys, those are the problems. I'm sure Cal will say, give me those problems anytime. I'll be happy to tackle those.
With P.J. Washington, Jared Vanderbilt, and Wenyen Gabriel in the draft without agents, in your opinion, how many of those three does Kentucky need – to have back to have the best chance possible to make our championship run?
Well, it's a good. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. If they got two of the three back, I mean, I think there's a good chance they'll get all three of them back. You know, it depends on what you hear about PJ. You know, that maybe the PJ really wants to go. He's just waiting for somebody to tell him, hey, you know, we'll take you, or there's a good chance we're going to take you for him to go. But I think, too, I did a podcast with Ben a couple of weeks ago. We talked about this, the fact that they got E.J. Montgomery, who can play down low. You know, P.J., if he comes back and can show, you know, that he can show more of some perimeter skills and some mid-range skills, then that could really help his draft stock for next year. So that sets up for him to come back, but you never know what's going to happen. But two of those guys come back. I think when you came back, obviously Jared came back, that would be huge because he's rebounding. He needs to show the pros that he does have an offensive game, that he can score other than just 2 or 3 feet around the basket on putbacks and down low, and also prove that he's healthy. But if Wenyen could come back, that would give him some experience that maybe, you know, they definitely lacked last year. You know, if he could come back for his junior year. But if they get two of the three back, I think that would be huge. And if it's just one of the three and it's just PJ, I think that would be huge.
John Clay, Lexington Herald Leader, KentuckySports.com for all the Derby and Wildcat coverage this week, and at John Clay IV on Twitter. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Tom.
23 after the top of the hour. We're Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in Louisville. Quick break, and right back on the Leach Report Radio Network.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
Welcome back into the show. And as I told you at the top, we're at Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in Louisville, one of our new clients here in the Louisville market. It's 502 Roast Beef on Facebook and Instagram. They had a really cool thing going on for Oaks and Derby Day. It's a fun deal. For both days, each day, the first 144 guests each day that come in and show your horse. It doesn't have to be a real horse. It could be a pin. It could be a button. It could be a picture. It could be a tattoo. But you show your horse, and you will get a horse and whole sandwich for free. That's with horseradish cream, Provolone cheese, roasted mushrooms, and, of course, top-quality roast beef, which is the deal here at Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road, owned by Billy Rappaport, who, since 2001, has been the field producer for NBC's Derby and Triple Crown coverage. And he joins us here for just a quick second to talk about this. First, congrats on the new digs here.
Thank you so much, Tom. It's great to have you here and all Wildcat fans, obviously. We're excited to be in Louisville and bring a really unique product here.
Billy was a customer of Top Round in L.A. and loved it so much, had family here, and so has opened this first location in Kentucky here on Shelbyville Road in Louisville. I wanted to get you out to tell a quick story you were telling me off the air. And before you were with NBC, one of the things you did is you produced some of the Sports Century segments on ESPN. One of them was fantastic on Secretariat. There's great comments from Haywood Hale-Bruin and Seth Hancock and all these great
Knack. The late group Bill Knack, who we lost too young. Good man.
All those great stories about Secretariat are in that piece. And, of course, Penny Chenery, the legendary owner who we also lost recently. And you were telling me about a story about the horse that chased Secretariat. It was a big deal in the movie, of course, if you saw it. Chase Secretariat in the Derby and the Preakness of Gallantly was sham and finally got his heart broken in the Belmont Stakes. And the heart is the interesting angle because the long-told story about Secretariat is his heart was much larger than normal. And so
2.5 times the size of a normal thoroughbred heart.
But it gave him his capacity to run
basically, yes. to put more oxygen into his body, which is clearly what needs to happen.
So sham. What's the story of sham?
So obviously, as we're doing all these interviews with everybody from Mrs. Chenery, all the way around Claiborne, et cetera, we had to speak to Dr. Thomas Swerzik, the legendary doctor who did the autopsy on Sham UK.
On Secretariat.
And so when we were speaking with him, we discussed, obviously, the size of the heart, et cetera, et cetera. And then towards the end of the interview, he says to me, and not everything, unfortunately, gets to be in a show. You know, it ends up getting cut and put on the editing room floor, and this was an example of that. He says, do you know what we found recently? I said, no, what's that? Because I had asked him, had you ever seen a heart close to Secretariat? He says, well, you know what we found recently? We just did an autopsy on Sham. And we found that Sham had the second largest heart of any thoroughbred that we had ever done an autopsy on and that we had ever seen. And how unbelievable was that? That here was the horse that ran second to Secretariat.
Second fastest time ever until Monarcos.
And by the way, set the track record in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah. He was the second horse to go under 2 minutes.
Exactly. It didn't win the race, which is one of those great, you know, bar trivia jokes, you know, and things. But anyway, but Dr. Swerzik was so forthcoming in telling us that it was really almost mind-blowing to think that Sham had this engine that was so unbelievable. He was just born in the wrong year.
And to piggyback on the story, Penny Chenery told you a story when she had a chance to breed a mare to a stallion, and she chose Sham.
She did, and frankly, it shocked me. She was so gracious, brought us to her home in Lexington. We sat for 6 hours talking about everything under the sun, not only just thoroughbred racing and Secretariat. And when it came to the time to discuss, you know, her interest in the breeding side of things, she said, you know, the first horse I ever bred to was Sham. I said, excuse me? How's the Sham? Why would that be the case? And we know she had to give up shares and everything with the situation with the farm. But at the end of the day, she said to me, because I thought Sham was the hardest trying horse I had ever seen in my entire life.
Cool story.
And I feel like that was my tribute to Sham. Even though Secretariat beat him, I wanted to be there with him.
Billy Rappaport, best of luck with Top Round Roast Beef.
Thanks, Tom.
And, by the way, follow on Facebook and Instagram 502 Roast Beef today because you're going to see pictures of actual horses going through the drive-thru here to announce this promotion we were telling you about for Oaks and Derby Day. We'll be right back with the second half of the Leach Report Radio Network.
Find out more about the voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
on location for the show today. We're starting Derby Week here in Louisville, not at the track, but at one of our new clients here in the Louisville market, Top Round Roast Beef. The store is located just east of Hubbard's Lane on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews, the St. Matthews neighborhood here in Louisville. And our next guest come to us courtesy of ExpressBet.com. Visit ExpressBet.com for a free Kentucky Derby wagering guide and to wager on the races when you can't get to the track. And he is Dick Girardi, award-winning writer for many years for the Philadelphia Daily News, retired there, and you can read him at ExpressBet and other places, and always joins us around Triple Crown time. And, Dick, I've got to tell you that when I was telling our host here, you don't know this yet, our host here at Top Round Roast Beef in Louisville is Billy Rappaport, who says he hired you several years ago.
That is true, Tom. Doing the Breeders' Cup simulcast years ago. Love Billy. Good dude to work with.
Yes, he is. He's a good guy. And you'll see folks see a lot of his work on the NBC show this weekend. He's the guy behind the scenes producing here on site. Before we get into the Derby, we're going to talk a good bit about that. We had several different college basketball writers on last week talking about the commission report that the commission chaired by Condoleezza Rice and what they had to say. And you've covered college basketball for decades. Give me your take on what was said last week.
Look, I think they're all well-meaning people, but I think they missed the lead. Look, the game has changed. The money has changed. The game hasn't changed with it, and I think it needs to. I think they got to figure out a way to not necessarily pay the players, but at least give the players an opportunity to market their likenesses. And if a car dealer down the street wants to get a player from UK and pay him a couple dollars to show for their car, I don't see a problem. And they didn't address that. And that's the reason all the money's in the game, because the players don't get paid right now.
And that seems to be that the Olympics fought this battle for a long time and held firm to amateurism and finally had to change to the changing marketplace in society. And it hasn't really caused them any problems, has it?
No, and I don't think it will either in college sports. And really, you're only talking with a few outliers, football and men's college basketball, and you're only probably talking 30, 40 players a year, 50, whatever the number might be, that are in that kind of demand. And it's capitalism. It's the way the country is supposed to work. And I always tell people it's an interesting story, Tom. I don't know how many people know where Michael Phelps went to college. The answer is the University of Michigan. But at the time, he couldn't swim for them because the rules were a little different. But that's, how silly is that? That he couldn't swim for his own school, the greatest Olympian we've ever had. But that really just needs to change, and unfortunately the commission just didn't address that.
And just to use that example, that would have done a world of good for college swimming and the University of Michigan's program.
Absolutely, yeah. And it was just, for some reason, just can't get out of their own way. And look, nobody, when the original amateur model came in, ever anticipated an NCAA men's basketball tournament that brings in billions of dollars for the TV rights from Turner and CBS. Nor did they anticipate the amount of money that ESPN is willing to pay to televise the college football playoff. But that's just now the reality, so we have to change with it. And I understand the NCAA specifically is trying to hold on to the old model, but it's going to collapse at some point. So somebody just needs, they're just trying to hold it as long as they can, but it's just not realistic anymore in 2018.
Get back to a little college basketball if time permits in a few minutes, but let's shift gears to the Kentucky Derby. And John Clay from the Herald Leader on in the first half hour, and I use this analogy with him that this year's Derby is like a Final Four that all the one seeds got to with all the top coaches because of Pletcher and Chad Brown and Baffert and Aidan O'Brien coming in from Europe. So what are the most interesting storylines to you for this Derby?
Yeah, you're right, Tom. That is it. This is the strongest group maybe since 07. And if you go back before that, maybe all the way back to 1997 with Silver Charm and that crowd. Because I think there's three, Justify, Magna Moon, Audible are 9 for 9 this year. And as you said, the big three trainers in America won all six of the final big major preps. Todd Pletcher, of course, won 4 of them. To me, the biggest storyline is Justify as talented and as good as he has looked in his three races for Mr. Derby himself, Bob Baffert. And that's really, that's the question I think that's on everybody's mind. Because if he's as good as he looked, he's not only a threat to win Saturday, he's a threat to win all of them. Because he's that talented. But we'll obviously know more a little before 7 o'clock on Saturday night.
Yeah, I said to John, I was talking to Elliot Walden from Windstar Farm, just part of the ownership group on Justify out of Keeneland Friday, and I said, he said, have you talked to Cal about his horse? I looked at him quizzically. He goes, yeah, we got a great freshman here in Justify. And I said, yeah, he's the Anthony Davis of this class. A uber-talented freshman. Is he talented enough to, Anthony could lead his team to a championship as a freshman. And Justify's, he's doing it on his own. It's not a team he's leading, I guess, unless you count the owners and the trainer. But what is it that makes him, to your eye, I mean, he's not the only undefeated freshman, so to speak, in here, there's Magna right. Moon. What makes Justify the one that is so talented that he can pull this off?
Yeah, his buyer speed figures tower over the field, Tom, other than Mendelsohn from Dubai, who, and when we did the figures, we came up with 106. Justify's races are just better than all his contemporaries. And having said that, all his contemporaries are really consistent, run race after race, but they just don't appear fast enough. And you talk to the people who do this for a living, the clockers, Gary Young specifically, who's in Southern California a lot now, is at Churchill, and the really smart people in the game. And even Bob Baffert himself is talking about Justify in terms he only talked about American Pharoah and Arrogate ever. So that tells you how talented the horse is. And if I have a choice, and Anthony Davis is a great example, between talent and experience, I will always take talent, especially if it's extraordinary talent, and this horse appears to have it. We know we're dealing with this no horse since the 1800s has won without racing as a two-year-old in the Derby, but I think we all know the sport has changed. That's going to happen sooner rather than later. And as a side note, Tom, you will love this. After Justify's first race, a friend of mine called me from Vegas the next day, said, I can get him at 40-1 in the future book. You want some of it? I said, absolutely. So I'm in at 40-1.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. And by the way, the comment you just made is the same one Calipari would make here, is that, he'd like to not have to rely as heavily on freshmen, but if you can get the great talent, you take it and figure it out, you figure out how to overcome the obstacles.
Right. It's as many great freshmen as Cal has had, and Carl Anthony Towns helped take a team to 38-0, as you were calling them. But Anthony's the best, and those are the kind of guys that can win you a championship, and that's exactly what he did, and I think Justify is of that caliber of a racehorse. Can't compare racehorses to humans, obviously, but when you watch it, there's just something about it, and I would tell everybody, it's one thing to watch the Santini Derby and the allowance race before that. Watch the maiden race. You don't see horses do what Justify did in his first start. He's out there. He's fast. He's battling, and he just runs away from these horses. It was just like, oh. It was to me, and I say this with all due reverence to Justify and all these horses, it reminded me of the second race that Smarty Jones ever ran. And it was like, it was one of those where you just said, oh, my God, what is this? So I think that's what we're dealing with Justify.
Yeah, just something that's maybe on another level.
Yes. I think that's the answer. At least to me, that's what... The fact that he could beat a horse as accomplished as Bolt Doro by three lengths in the Santa Anita Derby. Now, I know he was very comfortable in the race. Strategically, he had the edge because he was lone speed. But when you beat a horse that good by that a margin, because I would tell you, I think Bolt Doro is probably the second most talented horse in this group. And it really wasn't a contest.
Talking with Dick Girardi from ExpressBet.com. He and many others can be found in their Express Bet Derby wagering guide that is up now to help you analyze this year's Kentucky Derby. If not Justify, then who for you?
Yeah, I think Mendelsohn is for real. If this was any other trainer, I probably wouldn't take him as seriously, but Aidan O'Brien, you can make the case that once you get outside of North America, he's the best in the world. And it's hard to compare him to the top trainers here because their horses are just asked to do so many different things. And these horses coming from Dubai have historically underachieved in the Derby, but none has been trained by Aidan O'Brien, and none won the Breeders' Cup two-year-old turf race last fall. And none won like Mendelsohn won by more than 18 lengths in the UAE Derby. And as we said, we were able, Randy Moss and Andy Beyer, two of the main players in the Beyer Speed Figures, of which I am one of the players, came up with a figure, judging some of the Dubai World Cup, where a lot of American horses in it with North American forms. They were able to come up with a Beyer number for Mendelsohn's race in Dubai, and it was 106, and that's the kind of number that wins the Derby. Now, is he going to be able to duplicate that on a track where there's going to be other speed and 20 horses and not a race that he could just dominate? We don't know that, but we just know that he has the talent. So I think he's for real. The Todd Pletcher four, I mean, all of them obviously are legitimate. They all won the four, as we said, four of the last six major prep races. To me, the one that I think has the biggest upside is probably Vino Rosso, the Wood Memorial winner. And the fact, Tom, that Johnny Velasquez chose the Wood winner over Audible, the Florida Derby winner, tells me a lot.
Everybody's looking for their big price horse to throw in a trifecta or try to play a superfecta or something to juice up the price of those gimmicks or maybe even the bottom of the exacta. And a horse that I keep coming back to is another actually lightly raced horse that I'll get your take on, and it's Hofburg from Bill Mott. And you hear a lot of times the angle of, well, Bill Mott wouldn't be here if he didn't think he has a chance. And that's true, but there are times when trainers that don't want to be in a race like the Derby are there, or Breeders' Cup Classic, because the owner who pays their bills wants to be there. But this ownership group is Judmont Farm, and I think they've only run three horses in the Derby, and two of them ran second, Aptitude and Empire Maker, so they don't come very often. Bill Mott doesn't come very often, and they're here together with a horse that's only run three times himself, but it looks really intriguing to me at a price. Hofburg.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think a lot of people are going to jump on the bandwagon, A, because it's Bill. He's one of the best. He's sort of a little in the situation, maybe a little like Shug was with Orb. He's mm-hmm. won just about every big race except the Derby, and mostly because neither one of them have had that many horses in the race. So, yeah, I do think he is one of those three-year-olds that's like the good freshman now that's in his sophomore year, to use the basketball analogy, that's figured it out, that now understands the game better. So, yeah, he is clearly an improving colt. He's got the bloodlines. He's obviously got the trainer. And I think he probably has the right style. If this race is run like I think it's going to be, Justify at some point is going to knock out all the other speed horses. Then you're looking for somebody late to get in the superfecta. Hofburg would be one of those horses. I'll give you two more. I think Lone Sailor, who absolutely improved like by eight lengths in the Louisiana Derby, trained by Tom Amos, who's one of the good guys in the game and one of the smart guys in the game. I don't think he's a horse that can win, but I think he's a horse that could hit the superfecta at probably 40-1. And Salamini, who's always runs well, they're going to completely change his style in this race. This is Bob Baffert's other horse. They're on record as saying they're just going to let him fall out of the gate and make a run at the end of the race, or maybe the 3/8 fall to the wire. Another horse that can get the superfecta. And I always tell people, when you're trying to bet supers, you got to visualize how the race is going to be run. And then if you have a horse you think is going to win, in my case, Justify, essentially get rid of the horses who are going to be trying to beat Justify to the quarter pole, because they're not going to be around at the finish, and look for those horses that are running the last 100 yards.
Dick Girardi, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you before Preakness.
You got it. Thanks, Don.
That's Dick Girardi. Quick break, and back with jockey Corey Lannery on the Leach Report Radio Network.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
Jockey Corey Lannery's on the line with us. He'll be in the Oaks on Eskimo Kisses in the Derby on Promises Fulfilled. And Corey just comes off a great Keeneland meet. Corey, tell me about your Derby mount Promises Fulfilled, who I guess figures to be, according to what the trainer says, Dale Roman's going to be on the lead, right?
That's what he said. Yeah, he said he wants to kind of put him on the pace.
What do you do to prepare for riding a horse that you haven't yet ridden?
Not much different. You know, I watch some of his replays, and I talk to me and Robbie's good friend, so he'll tell me a little bit about him. But mostly just watch his replays and read the past performances. Maybe get on him in the morning, but I think he's already worked, so that probably won't happen.
You ride a lot of big races all throughout the year, one of the top jockeys in the country. But is the Derby still different, where you feel different when you come out on the track?
For sure. You know, with the prestige of the Kentucky Derby, you know, it's so we all dream about as kids growing up to just ride in it, you know, and then have a chance to win it. It's pretty special. You know, you come out on the track and you got all the people cheering and they start playing the song, My Old Kentucky Home. It's pretty special.
I know at Keeneland last week when they had Horses and Hope Day to honor the folks that are fighting breast cancer, and you happened to win the race where they were having a special presentation in the winner's circle, and they mentioned that your wife's been in that battle and is doing well. But is there a way folks can contribute or get involved in a cause?
Yeah, you know, I guess you could go ahead and donate, you know, to the breast cancer awareness deal, but she's doing great. You know, she's battling breast cancer right now, but they caught it real early, and so she's doing well.
Wonderful.
But it was pretty special to win that race too. That
was cool. It's wonderful that she's doing well. We're here at Top Round Roast Beef in St. Matthews in Louisville, and they said you guys are here regularly with Billy Rappaport's place, so that's great. Tell me quickly, I think you're going to win the Oaks on Eskimo Kisses, the way she ran in the Ashland when the circumstances didn't favor her. Tell me how you like your chances with her in the Oaks.
I like her. You know, like you said, circumstances didn't favor her in the Ashland, and she came on strong to be second. And, you know, if everything goes perfect, Monomy girl, she'll be tough to beat. You know, she looks like she's the best filly, but she's never had to overcome any circumstances. She's kind of been on the outside, kind of in a clear path, you know, every time. So, you know, in the Oaks and just with everything going on, you just never know.
Corey, appreciate the time. Best of luck with your rides in those races and the Oaks and Derby, but all the others this week at Churchill. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. And everybody get something at Top Round.
Jockey Corey Lannery will be back to wrap it up after this time out on the Leach Report Radio Network. Thanks to the folks at Top Round Roast Beef for hosting us here in the St. Matthews neighborhood of Louisville, Shelbyville Road, just east of Hubbard's Lane. Remember to follow them on Facebook and Instagram, 502 Roast Beef. And on Oaks and Derby Day, the first 144 guests each day get a free horse and whole roast beef sandwich if you show your horse. That's a picture of a horse, a button, a picture, a tattoo, whatever it might be, or your actual horse, which they're going to have coming through the drive-thru here in just a couple of minutes to kick off this promotion. We'll be back tomorrow, back in studio. Kyle Tucker, Larry Vaught, Marty McGee, and more on the Leach Report Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show, and be sure to follow the Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to Leach Report.